Welcome to Wednesday night Bible study here at the Lighthouse. Whether you're in the building or you're joining us online, we're glad you're here. Want you to participate in Bible study, share your comments, questions, and we'll all be blessed. So we're glad you've made it out here on this semi-wintry Wednesday evening.
The live stream going to Facebook is not playing nice tonight, so it is live streaming to our website.
Okay.
So we won't be able to, anybody won't be able to comment directly, but there is a link on the Facebook page.
Okay, so there is a link on the Facebook page to our website where we'll be live streaming. Facebook's given us a few hiccups tonight, so we apologize for that. But again, you can watch on our website, but you won't be able to comment live. So we apologize for that, but it's good to be in church. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, amen? We're blessed and we're privileged that we can come out and share the Word of God. How many knows that the Word of God is vital to us surviving and thriving as Christians? It's vital. We cannot live without the Word of God. Amen. It's life, yeah. So let's act like it, right? Let's act like the Word of God is vital in our Christian lives. So in order for the Word of God to be vital in our lives, we have to take it seriously. Right? We got to take the Word of God seriously. We have to read it, and then we have to apply it, right? Make it practical. Live it out, right? Amen. Amen. This evening we are on Lesson 8, and it's titled Protecting the Christian Family. Protecting the Christian Family. How many knows that is extremely important in every society? Because the family is the foundation of a strong and thriving society. Amen. That was the first thing God established, was the family. And so we need to protect that and make sure that we don't get confused about what a Christian family looks like, what a Christian family does, how a Christian family acts, what we do. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. I would appreciate all the comments and questions, all the hard ones, we'll direct to Pastor Joe, so that way he can answer all of those for you. He's paying attention. All right, well, praise God. We're going to start out here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, and remember, we're talking about protecting the Christian family. And again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it says this, and the heading on this section in my Bible says, the temple of the living God. So verse 14 says this, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? And I've read this scripture a lot of times and I've been confused at some points. Because I felt like, well, I'm a Christian and I'm living in a secular world. What does that mean for me? So, does that mean that I can't have friends who aren't Christians? Does that mean my boss and everybody at my job needs to be a Christian? Is that what that means? I see one person shaking their head. No, that's not what that means. In the second part of this verse, and we're going to go Greek here in a minute just for Brother Ryan, because he always drops the Greek verse or the Greek word of the day. or of the week. But in the second part of verse 14, it says this: how can light live with darkness? And that word live is translated in the Greek to koinonia, if I'm saying that word right. And there's another verse that I'd like to read before I get to that Greek word or the description of it. So we're going to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4, and that says this: they begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. And the word that I'm looking at here is sharing. So I'm going to read that again. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. That word sharing in Greek is koinonia. So that word koinonia means this. It's a noun and it means an association of close mutual relationship and involvement with another. Close mutual relationship and involvement with another. It is an alliance with another person or group, formal or informal. There is an implication of intimacy, singleness, of purpose, trust of one another, and a sharing of material goods and harmony rather than hostility. So this word doesn't mean just a work relationship. This word doesn't just mean a friendship. It goes deeper than that. So the scripture is warning us here, we need to be careful who we have close, intimate relationships with, right? And in the next verse it says this: what harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? So we have to be careful as Christians who we let into an intimate relationship. And for the family, I'm thinking about this, and this is what this means. If I am involved in a close personal relationship with someone who is a non-believer, they can start to influence me. We're talking about this word koinonia and how close that relationship is and what that means. And so some of them is going to start to rub off on me because I've allowed that person to an intimate place in my life. So if I've allowed that person to an intimate place in my life, that can start to rub off at home as well. Just a quick example, and this relates to that in some way, just to kind of help prove my point here. I guess I was a little argumentative the other night when I got home from work, and I didn't notice it. I just thought I was being mean. And my wife said, "Who did you work with today? Who did you work with today?" I got to thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? She's right. I did work with this guy, and he is really unhappy, argues about everything. And without even knowing it, that had rubbed off on me. And it was just a surface thing. But that's an example of what I'm talking about. And so I just wanted to bring that up to the light. And it says, how can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? So again, you can look at this like a business relationship. You can look at this like a business relationship. How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? So if I was going into business to sell carpet, and I decided to, no offense, but pick up Joe Schmo, who had experience in selling carpet, but he had done it the wrong way for years. And I'm coming into a partnership with Joe Schmo, who is good at selling carpet, but he doesn't do it the right way. So would I be tempted to sell carpet the wrong way, whatever that looks like? Yeah, because I'm going to partner up with him and we're there to make money, right? So we have to be careful who we partner up with, and we have to make sure that we're doing it for the right reasons. Amen. It's real quiet in here. Oh, Pastor Joe and then Brother Jake's got a comment.
So communion is one of the words that is like a synonym to koinonia, your Greek word. It's actually, the King James Version uses the word communion, what communion has, light with darkness. And so the word communion actually means this. It's a sharing or an exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially when the exchange is on a mental or spiritual level. So what the scripture is teaching us here is when we get connected emotionally and mentally with someone, a communion, right? And that word is likened to our relationship with Jesus Christ. We even call, when we take the Lord's Supper, we call it communion with him. We're communing with him, right? It's an exchange spiritually. It's an exchange mentally. We're remembering what Christ did for us. So like you're saying, just to support what you're teaching here, it's really important we understand who we're exchanging things with.
Right.
That, you know, we can impart to anyone, but when we receive from them, that becomes an exchange. And that's where we have to be careful of what we're allowing them to put into us. And so that's why it's saying, what communion does light have with darkness? It can't have communion because the light always overcomes the darkness. So you can't join yourself and have an exchange. Now you can befriend people, you can love people, you can impart to people what God's given you, but you cannot take from them if their heart is not right with God. And that's what he's saying here. We can't be unequally yoked, or else it's, you know, the cart's going to be pulled one way.
Right.
And so we have to be very careful when it comes to that exchange. I like that word exchange, the back and forth.
That's good, Brother Jake.
If you remember, we were actually just talking about this at your place the other night as well, during the new members
connection meeting. Night.
Yeah, connection night.
Uh-huh.
So 1 Corinthians 10, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make a way of escape that you be able to bear it. And then there's also, so the Lord's always going to show you a way out when he's laying on your heart in them situations. And then the other one's 1 Corinthians 10:21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of the devils.
Yeah, amen. And that illustrates what we're talking about further. Pastor Alicia.
God doesn't give us laws or rules just to make our life miserable. Right. And there's always a reason for them. And it's, part of what's been said tonight is so we don't fall. But the other part of it is just so we don't have unnecessary conflict. And even if you're not going to fall, it's going to make your life harder, whether it's a business relationship or a relationship with a spouse or a boyfriend or girlfriend. It's going to create unnecessary hardship, and God knows that. And so that's why God tries to protect us. And sometimes our life gets hard, and we wonder why. And we need to look back and say, am I doing things the way God wants me to? Because a lot of times we bring it upon ourselves because we're not following the word of God.
Amen. That's a great point, Brother Ryan.
So the thing that jumped out to me, I guess, was this isn't a new rule in the New Testament, but this was spoken by God to the people of Israel before they entered the Promised Land. And it was for a more, I guess, a simpler reason. You know, today's world, everything's so complicated, and there's all these what ifs and that. But back then, God simply said, you can't marry these other people from these tribes because they're going to cause you to worship other gods. Mm-hmm. So if they're not following me, the one true God, you can't have communion with, you can't be married to
Absolutely.
Them, you can't be yoked to them, those things. So it was really simple back then. you know, for the lack of better, it was black and white. Either right. they worship me or they don't.
Uh-huh.
You know, and today there's so much confusion, maybe.
Yeah, there's a lot of gray.
Yeah, and, you know, like Pastor Joe said, when you have the communion and you give and take, you know, even that would be a misunderstood word. We would be considered, I don't know what the word would be, but that would be, people wouldn't accept that today.
Uh-huh.
Unless you understand where the pastor's coming from, we would say, well, you're discriminating. So it's only your way or no way? Well, it's either God's way or it's no way. So that's a hard truth for people.
Right.
And those are the things that, once again, we have to, as a society, stop compromising God's way.
Right. There is an absolute truth, right? And it's true all the time. It's not relative to our situations or to our feelings. It's absolutely true 100% of the time. And it's without fault. Brother Darius.
I love the fact how the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to break down and compare what is going on when we partnership or when we have a fellowship with darkness. Because it continues saying in this same scripture what kind of communion with light and darkness have. Dark and light are two opposite things. But it goes on saying between Christ and Satan. That's something else right there. So, but it goes on, a believer with a non-believer, and what kind of agreement there is between the temple of God and the idols.
Yeah.
So, taking this scripture, one of the most difficult things as parents is to explain our kids why not hang out with some folks. They do not understand when we tell them, because he's not a Christian. But he's my friend. We are in the same class. So I love the fact that as parents, the Bible teaches us how to tell our kids not to do it. And the way not to tell them not to do it is right here in the scripture.
Yeah, amen.
When we let them know. So do you think Christ and Satan can be together? Well, this is what it says.
Yeah.
You think darkness and light should be together? This is what it says. Mm-hmm. Do you think our temple is the temple of idols? Now, the temple that he talks about here is, we are our temple. So my lesson learned from this is that many times I tried to impose things on my kids. It didn't work well. So I always have to learn how the Word of God teaches us and convinces us about something so we can convince them.
Amen. Yeah, the scripture gives us quite the contrast there. It goes on, like Brother Darius was saying, what we read earlier, between Christ and the devil. You can't get any further apart than that. That's total light and total darkness. Sister Sally.
This is good here, because what it's doing is telling us how to protect our family. So all these comments, and these are absolutely right. But it's not saying that we're it's sort of a warning telling us to watch our step, and if we're close to God, all these unbelievers, what they do is not going to make me do it.
Right.
And God's always, the Bible says he never stops. He works. And in his reason he's working, because he told us our job is to talk to the unbeliever, get them saved. So you do have communion with them. You do talk to them. But but as training your, I just don't want anybody to think that he's saying, forget them now. Stay right. Strictly. I'm just going to associate with you guys because you're saved. Right. But no, because we should go out. But we have to make sure we let our children know that the example we set is what is going to bring them into God with
absolutely.
Us, where God wants us. Because, you know, as sometimes the youngsters are saved, sometimes they're not. So we have to always instruct them, but don't instruct them to absolutely stick, you know, stay away from them, stick your tongue out at them, they're terrible. No, we want to be good and show the light of Jesus,
right.
Show his love.
Absolutely. We still have to love people,
yes. But
we have to be careful that we don't join into that close fellowship, as Pastor was saying, because then there's an exchange there. We should impart, like you both just said, Pastor Joe and Sister Sally, we need to be imparting unto them, sharing the gospel, giving them the love of Jesus, but without receiving any exchange from them in return. And, you know, I'm not standing up here on a soapbox, and I hope nobody that's watching thinks that, because God saved me from a life of sin. If you've ever heard my testimony, you know God saved me from a life of sin. So I'm not standing up here saying anything, you know, that I haven't already, God hasn't already brought me through. So, you know, it's just one of those things that we as Christians now, we know, hey, if I start to have this exchange, then bad things happen. You know, we can start to walk back down that road that leads to sin and that leads away from God. Pastor Joe.
So there's a philosophy in our world today that if we're not careful, we will allow it to infiltrate the church. And this is exactly what we're talking about tonight. And it stems from an Eastern mysticism teaching called the yin and the yang. And if you ever seen the symbol, it's completely black with one speck of white and completely white with one speck of black. Yeah. And the teaching is that for everything to be in balance, there has to be opposites. And so while the Christian faith does not accept that at all, if we're not careful, we'll start buying into this idea that in us are opposites. And there's, you know, there's a little bit of darkness in me, but there's the light of Jesus in me too. Right. But there's this little bit, no. And what happens then is because we buy into this, because we do have temptation, we do have things that come at us. That doesn't mean we're in darkness. We've seen the light, right? We're no longer in darkness.
Absolutely.
So we've seen the light, we're in the light, but we still have temptation. But if we're not careful, we'll start believing this lie. And then we'll look at other people and say, well, you know, it's okay for me to have fellowship or communion with them because I have this side of me anyway.
Right.
And listen, this is not Christian teaching. This is not the teaching of Christ at all.
Yes.
And we have to be careful that we don't allow these ideologies to infiltrate our church. You know, there's, you hear these sayings, you know, people will say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, that's true, but I'm no longer a sinner.
Right.
I am righteous in Christ Jesus. Now, we can't go so far where we think that we're a God also,
sure. But
we can't also think that we're still continuing in our sin. Paul said, God forbid that. We are set free. Grace isn't so we can continue in the darkness.
Right.
Grace is so we can continue in the light. And so I think it's important that we don't buy into this balance.
Right.
He said, what harmony do they have with each other?
Yeah.
But the teaching is for there to be harmony, there has to be opposites. Mm-hmm. So you got to be careful. I'm just warning you as the pastor of this church, make sure we follow sound doctrine. Don't allow these types of philosophies that infiltrate your speech, because what we say is what we become.
Absolutely.
And so we have to be careful that while it may sound good, it isn't good. Only God is good. And we have to follow, like Pastor Darius was saying, we have to be convinced by the scriptures, what the scripture says, not by what some philosophy says in this world we live in. And so therefore you're not supposed to have communion with the two. But the yin and the yang, they make it so that you have communion with the two. It may only be a little speck of good in the black
right.
and a little speck of bad in the white, but they're still in communion and they're side by side and they have to be the opposites for everything to be in harmony. No.
Right.
Think about how wonderful it was before sin entered the world.
Right. Perfect.
That's what we're trying to get to, right? So we don't need this opposite philosophy and all this stuff. And I got to stop because I could keep going on and on. But it's important that we do not allow that to come into our Christian faith. Amen. It is not the same.
Right.
Christ never taught these things.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. Brother Jake, did you have a comment?
So Christ himself did let us know, and I think I'm gathering what he's meaning here through this discussion. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to baptize, to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, 5 in 1 house will be divided, 3 against 2, and 2 against 3. Father will be divided against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. So Christ has a purpose in this because he's pulled us aside, yes, to work through us to bring, so he can bring salvation to them, but he's also finishing his work in us. And he doesn't want his work that he's trying to complete in us to be tainted from the sin that is, you know,
absolutely
over the others.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great example of light and darkness. You know, even though Jesus is the King of Peace, he says, I came to bring a sword. There's going to be a deciding line between light and darkness. And so it could split families apart. But that's not his intention. His intention is to bring peace. He wants everyone to come to salvation, right? Everybody's called. Salvation is the call, right? Everybody's called, so everybody makes a choice. Sometimes those choices do end up splitting friendships and families and things like that. Doesn't mean that we give up on it. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. We hold fast to our profession of faith and we intercede for people, right? Okay, so I want to share this real quick because as Pastor Joe was talking about a harmony or a balance between light and darkness in people, I was watching this show with my kids, and it's a kids show. Probably Y7 is the rating, okay? It's very, anybody can watch it. So these guys were on this quest to destroy these mystic weapons that, you know, could harm the world or be good for the world, but they're going to destroy them. And so one of the characters became possessed by a spirit. Okay? This was supposed to be a good guy. The spirit was supposed to be a good guy. But it literally possessed this character. So in that, his eyes began to glow. It was obvious. It wasn't something that was subtle. They wanted you to know what happened. Okay, so after this possession happened, there was this string of events that happened that this individual would not have done on their own. But here's the part that I literally couldn't believe was happening. So this guy gains control of himself again, but then allows this spirit to possess him. So there was this relationship between the two. And he allowed that spirit to come into him almost as if he could control it. But he couldn't because it was a possession. And I watched that and I told my kids, I said, this is not okay. And it wasn't some strange mystic show. It was something that I would never have guessed would have come in here. But I say that because we're talking about protecting the Christian family. And things that we allow in our home are getting more subtle and more subtle to infiltrate this kind of thinking into the family. That it's okay to live with this spirit that wants to take control of you. And then we'll just have this partnership. No, that is not okay. That is destructive in every way, shape, and form. And I thought to myself, how many children watch that, leaving with the impression, wow, that's okay. These are good guys and that happened. That must be okay. So then what happens? These children open the door for that kind of spiritual oppression and possession. I could not believe it. And so I'm glad I had a chance to talk to my children and say, hey, you might not know what's going on here, but this isn't right. And it comes at every angle. So I just wanted to share that with you because we have to keep our guard up. Pastor Alicia said it several months ago, maybe. We have to protect and be a filter for what comes into the home, what we allow to come into the home. And it doesn't matter if you're married with children, if you're single, or if you're married. You don't want these things to come into your home. All right. Verse 16, so we're talking about protecting the Christian family. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and Brother Darius started to read some of this, but said, "And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people." We need to keep the temple pure. Verse 17 says this, "Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you." Now, does that mean that unbelievers are filthy and we shouldn't associate with them? No, that's not what the scripture is saying. Jesus got made fun of because he ate with who? Corrupt, filthy tax collectors, right? And alcoholics, right? That's who Jesus said, hey, these people are sick and they need a doctor spiritually. So Jesus is the great physician, right? So we need to follow Jesus' example. He did not partake of those things. He didn't go out and steal from people. He didn't become a glutton, or he didn't become an alcoholic, right? He didn't do those things, but he gave them an example to follow. So the scripture is not saying that we can't have relationships with unbelievers, but that we need to be cautious, right? We can't have that exchange, as Pastor Joe was talking about earlier. And I want to read this scripture. It's back in Isaiah 52:11 says this, "Get out. Get out and leave your captivity, where everything you touch is unclean. Get out of there and purify yourselves, you who carry home the sacred objects of the Lord." So the priests had to purify themselves for rituals. They had to purify themselves to work in the temple, right? They couldn't touch these things. We want to keep our households pure. We don't want to taint our homes with the things of the world. So what does that mean? I guess, does anybody have an example? What are we talking about when we say the things of the world? Are we talking about certain kinds of foods? Are we talking about certain kinds of homes? Are we talking about certain kinds of carpet? What are we talking about? What are the things of the world that we shouldn't be touching? What is it? Sin. Sin is disobedience to God, right? So let me just try to do my best to bring this home for a minute. So what is this? We're at the end of January, back in December, middle of December, somewhere around there. We begin to approach this time of consecration. And this is just for me, okay? This is what God did for me. I'm not saying that this is for anybody else. But God said, you need to stop eating so much sugar. He said, stop eating it because it's affecting you. How many knows that sugar is addictive? Right? Sugar is addictive, okay? Not saying you can't eat sugar. I'm saying this was for me. This is what God said to me. If you go on a Little Debbie diet, God bless you. All right? But he began to say, stop eating sugar. So God's telling me, and I need to obey God. If I'm disobeying God, I'm walking in sin, right? It's disobedience, and it's what it is. And so I'm not trying to make anybody squirm in your seat if God's telling you to stop eating sugar. But I'm using that as an example of how sensitive we should be to what God is telling us. And you know what? When I stopped eating sugar, it produced good in me that would not have been produced had I been disobedient. Now, I can eat sugar now, and I do. We made some creme brulee the other night, and it was good. But we have to be careful what we allow into our lives, and we need to be careful what we do and what we don't do. Can I tell you, I've been at a place in my life to where I've been so busy that I didn't hear the still small voice of God, and got to a point, as Pastor Alicia was saying earlier, wondering, why am I miserable? Why am I upset at the drop of a hat? What is going on in me? And it's because I had stopped listening, thought it was just a small thing, thought it might have just been me. And so that voice got quieter and quieter, and the things of the world got louder and louder. And before I knew it, God had to yell, so to speak, to get my attention. And wouldn't you know it, I wasn't protecting my family like I should. I was bringing things into the home, okay, so to speak. And it wouldn't be, you know, what anybody would call rank sin, but these are the things that can begin a trickle effect that can open the floodgates to wreak havoc in our lives. Brother Jake, did you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, amen to all that, brother, by the way. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises is promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, meaning us,
right? Amen.
The church. So I think it, you know, even as we approach, you know, we can't lose sight that our Lord is returning. And we have to gather amongst ourselves to keep each other encouraged and also to strengthen each other, because where two or more are present, are two or more together in his name, he's present.
Yep,
so
amen.
We need to continue to keep coming together, you know, to get our cups refilled from him.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. Yep, that's a good word. We need to continue to do that.
Going back to your question on what are those things of the world, and you quoted the scripture that says, come out, come out. It's a scripture in the Old Testament, and basically God is telling his people to watch the practices and the things those people do, even the nations that they were going to conquer. Mm-hmm. And in this text, it's so important to see that in the New Testament, the writers are telling us the things of the world are those things that are part of the cosmos, the system that operates very well organized in order to get people away from God. Mm-hmm. So basically saying, you better watch those things. Mm-hmm. That are part of the system that tries in a very organized way to drive away people from God. Do not touch those. Mm-hmm. Do not be part of that.
Yes.
So nowadays, the disguise of the enemy is becoming very professional, mm-hmm. even more.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we have the Holy Spirit who is able enough to give us discernment and also to rebuke our hearts.
Yeah.
So that's even when those Old Testament listeners didn't have the Holy Spirit, we have it. Yeah. We have him Amen. Now. And that's a great asset for the Amen. Church.
Amen. Yes, we have to be careful. We have to be weary. Because like you said, the enemy puts on many faces. And we have to be careful. So we're going to move on to the next section here. And it's titled, Abstain from Destructive Habits. Abstain from Destructive Habits. So somebody give me an example of a destructive habit. Anything, just shout it out.
Drinking alcohol.
Tearing people down. Using your words in a negative way. What is it?
Smoking.
Smoking, okay. Being greedy. Anybody else? What is it?
Gambling.
Yep. What about lying? Lying is a destructive habit. Cheating. Yeah, those are all destructive habits. Anybody else? Anything they want to shout out? What about healthy habits that build up the home? I know we're talking about abstaining from destructive habits, but what about healthy habits that help build up the home? Okay, that does help build up the physical body. Thank you, Nurse April, for that. The word and worship. Okay, make those healthy habits. Yep. Fellowship. What is it, Sister Sally? Prayer. Yep, absolutely.
Meals at a right time,
every day, yep. Absolutely, because if we sit down to meals together as a family, that creates good structure, and it offers the opportunity for fellowship. Yeah, absolutely. Fellowshipping with one another and having communion with God. Amen. So I said that because when I was reading this, talking about abstaining from destructive habits, in my mind, it was easy to start rattling off destructive habits. Drinking, smoking, cheating, lying, stealing, whatever. But I had to think about the healthy habits that would help build up the home. It took me a minute to think about it. And then I thought even more about, am I applying them in my own home? Do I make a conscious effort to apply these things in my own home? And sometimes the answer is no, I don't, because I'm distracted with other things. So if the Christian family is the foundation of our society, are we pouring into the family enough to sustain the crushing weight of society pressing in? It's a valid question. I think about these things. God, am I being faithful in the role you've placed me in my household? I want to be found faithful. I want to be found faithful. And so I ask these probing questions inside of myself. Sometimes I don't like the answer I get, but I've learned the more I'm open and honest, the more God helps me through those things. And I feel the more that I can be open and honest, it might help someone else to be open and honest and pull the cover off of something they might be dealing with as well. So Proverbs 23, verses 31 through 35 say this, and we're talking about abstaining from destructive habits. And Brother Ryan said this one right off the bat, alcohol. And this is what this is talking about. Don't gaze at the wine, seeing how red it is, how it sparkles in the cup, how smoothly it goes down. For in the end, it bites like a poisonous snake. It stings like a viper. So at first it looks good, right? Oh, this is going to be a great ride. And then it bites you like a snake. Okay, I've consumed a lot of alcohol in my life. God has delivered me from that and been sober for a very long time. Praise God. But I can relate to this. It talks about you'll see hallucinations and you will say crazy things. You'll stagger like a sailor tossed at sea clinging to a swaying mast. And you will say, they hit me, but I didn't feel it. I didn't even know it when they beat me up. And it's addicting. When will I wake up so I can look for another drink? All that stuff happens, and there's still that addictive substance that people can look for. So it's a warning against substance abuse, and we know that substance abuse is huge in our society. It is huge. It's an epidemic. Children have parents who are so deeply addicted to substance that they are completely disconnected. There is no connection at all. Children are there for a source of income for their parents. In some cases. It's very sad, but it's true. And I say these things not to be a Debbie Downer, all right, but so that we're all aware of what is going on in our society. Now, is all hope lost? No. All hope isn't lost. Jesus is still on the throne. We still have breath in our lungs, so we need to share the gospel. And it looks different, maybe, than what it used to. But we still need to show the love and the grace of God to people who need it. So this is a big thing, because dependence on these substances will pull people away from the family. Yes. Right? You begin to depend on this substance more than you depend on coming home at night. More than you depend on your relationship with your spouse or your children. You begin to depend on this thing, and it begins to be your life. And so even though you still live in your home, you're not really living in your home. That makes sense. So we have to be careful. And how do we deal with these things? How do we practically share the gospel with someone who is struggling in these areas? What does that look like? And I don't always have the right answers, but I'm saying this to get us to think, because there are people probably that you see every day that may be struggling more than we think. So that little nudge from the Spirit of God to question or to say good morning or to buy a coffee may be more than just a little question or a coffee. Sister April.
It's funny you should ask that, because that's the same question I ask God when I, God will show me people's faces and I'll be like, oh boy, I don't even know how to go about that, God. But he'll say, you'll be friends with them. That's what he tells me. And I'm like, okay. So you just start to ask, okay, God, if that's something you want me to do, show me how. And then he'll give you a way.
Right.
Sometimes you'll just be able to say, hey, I saw this. I really like that. Maybe they like coffee. You can be like, hey, let's go get a coffee. Because I've noticed and I've found you can't pour into anyone that you haven't first made a friendly connection with. The Bible says, if you want to have friends, you have to show yourself friendly. But I don't also go and do what they do, where they normally hang. I don't go to a bar to have a Bailey's and cream. We'll go to a coffee house and have a coffee.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just you have to bring them to your safe territory. You don't join them where they are.
Right.
And then you just begin to do that. Maybe then you'll say, oh, hey, I like to go for a walk. You like to walk? Let's go walk. And then you can start just, you have to create that relationship, because I can tell you honestly, I was there. I didn't know there was any different way of life. You know, my whole life was alcohol filled. Mm-hmm. Every weekend, where am I going to go party? Mm-hmm. Who's holding the party?
Yeah.
But I was 12 years old when I went to a friend's house and I realized there was a different way to life. People don't know that sometimes until we show them.
Right.
Hey, those church people are nice.
They know how to have fun, too.
Hey, they do know how to have fun. hey, they do want to be my friend.
Right. Yep.
So God will show you.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. And we're going to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to read a couple verses there. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. So we need to live in the light. And then we're going to read verse 15. Of that same chapter. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Somebody give me an example of living like a fool. What is it? Debt? Buy? Oh, impulse buying. Okay. Yep. Brother Ryan.
I think foolishness, one of the things in the Bible, it calls them mockers, people who won't receive instruction or receive wisdom or impartation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's living like a fool, not receiving instruction, not receiving wisdom. What about anybody have an example of living wise? Anybody have an example of what wise living looks like? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, or the foundation of wisdom. Making right choices. Receiving instruction. Yep. Those are all good. And I thought about this one, and I was kind of hesitant to read it, but I'm going to anyways. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 4. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take extra oil. I kind of felt like preaching a sermon because I think that can go really deep. But being prepared is wise, right? We need to be prepared because we don't know what's coming, right? We need to be prepared for things. The 5 wise virgins, there we go. Thank you. Man, that just jumped right out of my head. The 5 wise virgins, they were able to go into the marriage feast, right? So it's good to be wise. We need to be wise. And we get wise by receiving instruction, by receiving the instruction of the Word of God, right? Because the Word is alive and it produces things in us. So I'm going to share a couple things here because we're getting real close to the time to end. And let me just write this down so I don't forget. And this might seem like it's a little off topic, and that's okay. But we've been talking about protecting the Christian family. We've been talking about wise things that we can do. We can live wisely so that we can instruct our children. How many knows if you receive instruction, your children are going to receive instruction better? Right? All right. So I was thinking about this the other day. Is God all-knowing? Does God know everything? He does know everything. Why does God want us to pray for our brothers and sisters? If God already knows the need, why does God ask us to pray for that need? Why does he do that? There's a communion there. B- builds faith. Another one that says it shows our faith. Develops love among brothers and sisters. He wants us to be compassionate. Right. Absolutely. So let me just poke.
That's very important.
Right.
Our understanding. How can we go out and disciple? Excuse me, I should. But how can we go out and disciple if we're not compassionate and yearning for understanding for others?
Like right.
We're talking about people being addicted and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
How can I understand? I've never been addicted. How can I understand that until I find somebody, like Sister April said, that I can be free?
Mm-hmm. Right. So our sister's talking about compassion and being full of compassion, how important that is to be compassionate and never lose that. But let me just pose this question. If we don't pray for our brothers and sisters, is God going to move?
He went to the cross for everybody.
Right, he did go to the cross for everybody. But what my question is, if we don't pray for our brothers and sisters, is God going to move? So let's say, and I'm not being objective, but I want to get all of us to dig deep. Let's say that I have a need. Nobody knows that need. Let's say I'm not a Christian. I don't pray. I have a need. And so I'm not a Christian. I'm not praying about it. And God lays it on Brother Jerry's heart. Says, you need to pray for Brother Jesse. He's not a Christian. And it doesn't matter. But I want you to pray for this. He has this need. And Brother Jerry says, you know what? That Brother Jesse's a jerk. I don't really want to pray for him. So Brother Jerry decides not to pray. What is going to move God to meet my need? His love. Okay. God is moved by love. But the point that I'm trying to get across is, it is very important that we pray for our brothers and sisters. I have had experiences that I know that if I would not have prayed, listened to the direction of the Holy Spirit, things would have turned out differently in a situation. I know that. Nobody can convince me any otherwise. Faith moves God, right? We need to pray with faith for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have to do that. We have to do that. Second thing I want to say, Pastor Joe, go ahead, because this is kind of...
You see, the key is relationship. That's why he asks us to pray for one another. It builds our relationship with him, first of all, because we're talking with God. But it also builds our relationship with others. 1 John talks about this. When we have fellowship with God, we are in the light, and we have fellowship one with another. And so that's what it's all about. It's about relationship. Everything that God does is about relationship. It's about building relationship with him, and it's about building relationship with one another. So that's the key why he wants us to pray for each other.
Amen. Amen. God is a relational God. And I've talked to people at work before, and they're like, no, I'm not religious. I'm like, neither am I. I got a relationship. Okay, so that was one thing that I wanted to bring up before the end here. Brother Andy, go ahead.
So, Darius, is that? So he said the love for the brothers and sisters in Christ. And I just want to testify, like, in Philippians chapter 1:3, Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. When throughout the day, when someone enters my, like, is in my heart, I just begin to thank God for that person, and it actually, like, it makes my heart more tender towards that person. So the love of the brethren, praying for others really can make your heart, like, compassionate for your brother and sisters in Christ.
Absolutely. Keeps our heart tender. Yeah, Pastor Alicia.
We know that God's will is not always accomplished.
Right.
And so if it's not accomplished, why is that? It's not a lack of God's part.
Right.
It's a lack on people's part. So either we didn't have faith, we didn't take the time to pray, we didn't take the time to obey. Something happened on us because we know it's not on God. So it is vitally important that we as Christians obey what the Spirit is saying to us, because it affects people for the good or for the bad.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for all the comments. Second thing I want to say, and this is something God has been stirring in me, and Pastor said it on Sunday, but we need to nurture the seed that God has put inside of us. God is doing something, and as Pastor Joe said, it's sovereign. So I want to encourage you, whatever God has placed inside of you, whatever you feel that He is leading you to, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us what He wants to work. And when I see this nurture the seed, I see this picture of fertile, rich, cultivated soil. That's what I see, where the seed is placed in. And we need to nurture it so that it grows and bears the fruit that God wants it to bear. Amen? All right. Well, thank you all for the comments and the questions. I appreciate all the participation. And we'll just go ahead and dismiss in prayer. Yeah, Sister Peggy. Absolutely. Yeah, anybody else before we, Sister Teresa?
Pray for my sister's husband, Jim. He's been falling a lot and being disoriented, not knowing what's going on. And he can't get into the neurologist until April. And it's very stressful for Debbie. Yeah, very stressful. So pray.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, we'll go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for your word, God, that it is alive and active, Lord. It is powerful, and it can do things that we cannot do, Lord. It gets in places that we cannot get. And so, Lord, we thank you for that, and we just pray that you would continue, God, to use your word, God, to move in the hearts and lives of your people for salvation, for edification, Lord, for obedience. And God, we give you thanks for everyone that's here tonight. God, we just pray for Brother Melvin. We speak to this blood pressure, this issue, that his blood pressure would stabilize at a normal level, and that he would have peace in his heart and in his mind. Lord, we pray over Jim. God, he's having this issue with falling, Lord, and you see the issues that it's creating. We rebuke every spirit that would cause him to be disoriented, that would cause his mind to not function as it should. And we cast these things out in the name and authority of Jesus Christ. You have no place, and we pray your peace over Deb. And we give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.